Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, welcome to our worldwide church service. Praise the Lord. How you doing today? I am Jeremiah Smith, and I'm so glad to get to be with you. And I hope that you've been having a wonderful, wonderful week. Are you having a good week this week? Are things going good for you? Well, you know, I believe that God wants you to have a wonderful week in Christ Jesus this week. Praise the Lord. We're kicking it off this week. We're going to be finishing up our series this week about the time of the end. And I believe we're going to have a great time finishing off that series today. So you stick with us. We're going to have a good time today. Well, you know, you can catch us. We try to be live every Wednesday and Sunday. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, on Sundays at 4 p.m. Central. And sometimes we may be just a few minutes late there, but we try to be here right at those times. And you can check us out at those services live on Podbeam. How you doing out there on Podbeam? Hey, I'm so glad that you're with us today on Podbeam Live. Praise the Lord. Of course, we've started out as a podcast, and we've tried to stay a podcast for a few years here now. And, you know, of course, we're on YouTube. We try to be on YouTube. This video will be put up on YouTube about 9 o'clock Central Time this evening. But you can catch us at those Central Times live on Podbeam if you'd like to listen to us on Podbeam. Praise the Lord. And, of course, you can listen to the rebroadcast in many different places. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbeam, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer. You can listen to us on Pandora, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, Samsung, and others. And of course, if you go to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, you can listen to jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. You can check it out there. You know, hit the media tab. You can see if it's on something that's already on your phone. You shouldn't have to download something new. And you can listen to our podcast on there. And we're so glad to have you. You know, I don't believe you just happen to be here by accident. I believe that the Holy Spirit drew you here, and I believe he's got something that he's trying to accomplish in your life today. Do you believe he could do something special in your life today? You know, I believe that he does all kinds of things in people's lives and touching them right there where they're at, on your motorcycle, on your scooter, you know, on the airplane, wherever you're listening to us. You know, I believe he does things to help you right there where you're at, encourage you. You know, the fivefold ministry is for encouraging you, you know, and, you know, you need to be encouraged. You know, you need to take care of your spirit and be encouraged every week. And this is a good place to do that. You can just come in here and let the Holy Spirit encourage you. And I believe that it'll help you get through the week. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe he can encourage you right there where you're at today? Doesn't matter where you're at around the world. You know, the Bible says he's everywhere at one time. You know, and, you know, David talked about it. If I go to heaven, he's there. If I go to hell, he's there. He's everywhere at one time, right there where you're at today. The Holy Spirit will touch you if you let him touch you right there where you're at today. Praise the Lord. You know, you can give if you'd like to give. There's no pressure to give here. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." And so, you know, you want to make sure you're giving. You know, you're hurting yourself if you don't give somewhere. So make sure that you're giving somewhere so that God can bless you back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in your life. So if you'd like to do that, you can go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com and hit the giving tab, and you can give there if you like. But like I said, there's no pressure. All of our resources are free, and we're here to help you grow spiritually and encourage you. And so you just take advantage of the resources we have available. I believe we have something over 500 podcasts on Podbeam. You can check those out and be encouraged there and listen to all kinds of different messages, from vision to, you know, we even have messages on growing spiritually. We have messages on being led by the Holy Spirit. Great messages to help you with your spiritual walk with Jesus. And so it's important that you grow spiritually and make sure that you're feeding your spirit all the time. So take advantage of that on YouTube. If you like videos, I think we have something somewhere around 300 videos. You can watch those if you'd rather have videos. And to help you to grow spiritually and minister to your spirit, check those out, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to your life. Praise the Lord. Well, without further ado, we're going to get into the Word. Are you excited about the Word today? Grab your Bible, get your tablet, get your phone, and we're going to be talking about we're going to get more into talking about the time of the end. We just got through talking about that. You know, Daniel talked about how certain things would happen that you could see at the time of the end. We talked about that in the first message. And then after that, we went into the second message, talking more about the rapture and the events after that. And went through the 7-year tribulation. We just got through finishing up the 7-year tribulation. So if you want to check those things out, you can check those things out in the last two messages. And now we're going to talk about what happens after the tribulation, which is going to be right after the Battle of Armageddon. And we're going to get a little bit into that today. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, Father. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit today. We thank you. He's here to help us. He's here to guide us. He's here to be here with us in everything that we do. He's our helper in everything that we do. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our counselor, our comforter, being our security. And we just thank you, Father, for that precious Holy Spirit giving us the boldness. He's the greater one on the inside, and we thank you, Father, for him today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Ask that burdens be removed and people's yokes be destroyed, burdens be lifted right off their shoulders and going off their back like water off a duck's back today. And we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And we just ask, Lord, that one that needs peace, that you touch them right there, to give them peace. That one needs joy, that you touch them right there and help them to restore their joy right there where they're at today, Father. And Father, we just ask for it by your precious Holy Spirit today, Father. Help them to be encouraged. Help them, Father, know that there's good things in store for their future. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it. Help no one to leave without getting something today, Father. Help them to get something out of your word and being encouraged today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for no one to leave without getting something today. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, flood us with light. Help us to see some things we've never seen before. And we give you the praise and we give you all the glory as always, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I have been gone doing all kinds of things lately here. And I'm glad to be back this Sunday with you and spending some time with you. Praise the Lord. So if you would go ahead and go over Revelation, the 20th chapter is where we're going to start. We're going to be talking about the things that are happening right after the 7-year tribulation, right? We have the Battle of Armageddon. Oh my goodness, what a battle that'll be. That'll be over within 24 hours. Think about that. You know, the Battle of Armageddon is going to be over quickly. And, you know, and you think about all the things that are going to happen here after that, you know, and we're going to get into that today, and we're going to get right into God's word and start that today. So we know right after the Battle of Armageddon, we got Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation, the 20th chapter is where we're going to start. Let's read there. And what's this talking about in the Revelation of the 20th chapter? What's talking about how Satan will be bound for 1,000 years? Wow. Won't that be great? Oh, you think about that. Fear will be gone. Think about that. The whole atmosphere will be totally different, you know, with the deception that he's trying to cause. And you think about that today. It's going to be a totally different atmosphere without Satan here for 1,000 years for him being bound. Let's look at that. The 20th verse, it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." You know, you can remind Satan of this over and over. When you get up in the morning, he's giving you a little trouble. Say, "I hear the chains." You can say, I hear those chains. You know, you can remind him of his future. Powerful to think about. You know, he says, he's a great chain in his hand and laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So we know clearly who he's talking about here, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he is cast into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, for 1,000 years, he's going to be bound. Oh, isn't that exciting? For Christians, that's wonderful to think about Satan be bound. You know, you just want to take a little time here and just think about that, you know, about him being bound. I like thinking about the devil being bound, you know. You think about all the challenges he's tried to cause for you and for your family and all the stuff that he's trying to hinder you with and things like that, you know, and stress and pressures and trying to cause you to break down. You know, you think about him being bound for 1,000 years. That makes you want to laugh, puts a smile on your face. But that's exactly what's going to happen. He will be bound for 1,000 years. Boy, that's good stuff. And, you know, I remember a person talking about one time when he got to heaven, how the atmosphere was so different, you know. Don't mean to go too much on that, you know. But then think about how the atmosphere will be totally different without the devil, you know. You know, and how he's caused havoc and going to and fro throughout the earth. We see that in Job. He shows what the devil's doing. He's going to and fro throughout the earth, you know, trying to cause havoc, you know. But you think about that havoc being gone. Man, what an atmosphere that'll be, you know. That'll be a wonderful atmosphere, won't it? Praise the Lord. Well, Satan will be in prison for 1,000 years, and he's bound up and shut up. Why don't you be glad to hear him shut up? Yeah, you know, talking and giving us all kinds of things, you know. You think about Eve and how he enticed Eve, you know, and he won't be there to entice you anymore with the things that you shouldn't be doing. Helps you to walk this Christian walk a little easier, right? And he has a seal put on him, and he cannot deceive or operate for this period of time of 1,000 years. Think about that today. He won't be able to operate. That's powerful to think about. Well, after that, you know, of course, it talks about the thrones of the reigning saints. That's talking about you and talking about me. If you're saved today, you know, it talks about the thrones of the saints there over the 1,000 years. Let's look at that real quick. We'll look at Revelation 20th chapter, the 4th verse. It says there, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witnesses to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast on his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's talking about you reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, right? And the martyred saints, they'll be the ones on the thrones with us there, reigning for 1,000 years. Now, people have a hard time with this. I did a podcast on the authority of the believer, or it was a righteousness. I was trying to remember which one. I got a lot of feedback from this gentleman. He's talking about, you know, reigning as kings. You know, God's called you to reign as kings and priests unto him. That's what you're called to do, right? You're adopted in the family. You're adopted, an adopted son of God. Think about that today. Adopted into the family of God, and you're called to reign with Jesus, and these are thrones that you'll be reigning on for 1,000 years. Powerful to think about, right? Well, let's look at Revelation, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse. It says it like this, "And he made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign." Is that clear what he's saying there? Reign on the earth. Think about that today. You weren't called to walk around with your head down all the time and sad and depressed. No, you were called to reign with Christ Jesus. It's an identity thing today, isn't it? People don't realize their identity in Christ Jesus. You were called to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean get the big head, right? Right? That doesn't mean to be prideful. No, you know, we're supposed to have humility, but we're not called not to reign. We're called to reign in Christ Jesus with him. And that's your position right now. We know that from Ephesians talks about that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's exactly our position now. And it's important that you realize, you know, that's also your future position over the 1,000 years. You'll literally have a throne that you'll be reigning with Christ Jesus on for 1,000 years. Powerful to think about, right? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse, is like this. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." You know, God loves you. I don't know who's listening today and you feel like you're not loved. You know, God loves you, right? Hey, all the silver in the world, all the gold in the world couldn't pay for you. But God's son, Jesus, paid the price for you. Think about that today. Only his blood of his son could pay the price for you. That's how valuable you are, right? Not all the gold, not all the silver in the world could pay for you. All the rubies, all the diamonds. No, only Jesus' blood could pay the price for you. Powerful to think about today, right? And he did that for you. Jesus laid down his life for you. His great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he loved you even when you were a sinner. Before you even got saved, when you were all, even, you know, the ugly you, right? Before you even got saved and were made righteous in Christ Jesus, God loved you even in that state. Boy, that says a lot about God, doesn't it? It says a lot about us. How we need to love people even when they don't look good and they're going through challenges. That's when we're supposed to love them, right? And he loved you when you were in that state. He loved you no matter how you looked. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't look so good before I got saved, right? Or rededicated my life to the Lord, you know, wasn't doing all the right things. But he loved me anyway, and he loves you anyway. You know, and when you get into church, you know, it's amazing how when you're growing spiritually and all that, you know, and it takes time to grow spiritually. I was listening to somebody today, matter of fact, and they were cussing and all kinds of things, but they were professing Jesus, you know? Well, you know, it takes time to build character and to grow and to be more like Jesus, you know? You say, well, Jesus doesn't cuss. Well, you know, it takes time for people to grow spiritually, and you have to be patient with one another, you know. It takes time for you to get to the place where you need to be in Christ Jesus, you know, and you don't just kick people out and throw them out on the street, not accept them for who they are. It takes time to grow. You know, the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you become like the Lord. And it takes time to grow, you know, and become more like Him, from going from glory to glory, more like Him, you know. And, you know, and just because we don't like something doesn't mean God doesn't mind it. You know, God can accept a whole lot of stuff. He loved you when you were a sinner, right? So He can accept a whole lot more stuff than we can, I'm sure. And we need to have a lot more grace with each other, praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. So listen to what He says here in the fourth verse, is, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with where He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Aren't you good? Aren't you glad about grace? I've needed a lot of grace. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is our position, right? And if you go through there and you read, it's, you're far above all principalities and powers and mights. He's talking about your position. And it's already been done, already paid for through Christ Jesus. And you're over those things. Think about that. You know, the scripture talks about, we'll talk about it probably later. I have some scriptures on that, how you'll even judge angels, talking about the great throne, white throne judgment, talking about there, judging the wicked of the ages. That's what that white throne judgment's for. Some people get that confused because they think that the Christians are going to be judged at the white throne judgment. That's not true. It's for the wicked of the ages. We've already been raptured in heaven. Why would you be judged again? You wouldn't be raptured in heaven if there was another judgment. No, you wouldn't already have made it to heaven. He already considered you righteous, and He already raptured you to heaven. And He's already, you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, spend time praying with Jesus. Think about that today. You know, that's for a special group of people, and it's the wicked of the ages. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But our position is in Christ Jesus, is seated with Him, right? You know, don't get yourself confused, you know, about, hey, you know, that's why you can you can cast out a devil if you need to, and he runs, right? The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Why does he flee? It's because your position is higher than his, right? And so it's important to know your position in Christ Jesus. Well, of course, we will rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Isn't that good to think about today? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and look a little bit more about this. This is our position and rule and to reign. The martyrs are also resurrected from the place where actually they're under the altar there. They'll be resurrected with us and they'll rule and reign with us. Well, what happens at the end of that 1,000 years of reigning with Christ Jesus? And by the way, that'll be a theocracy, not a democracy, right? They won't have a choice but to serve Jesus. Everybody on the earth won't have a choice but to serve Jesus. That's the kind of earth I want to live on. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's going to be a wonderful place, a righteous place, a loving place. Amen. And that's where we want to live as Christians, praise the Lord. Well, Satan will be loosed at the end of that 1,000 years. Some believe it's 2 to 3 weeks at the end, and he'll be released. You say, well, why would he release Satan at those last few weeks during that 1,000-year reign? Well, you know, there'll be some people that come out of the 7-year tribulation, and they'll have babies. And none of those babies will have dealt with any of the temptations that you've had to deal with, that you and I have had to deal with since we've been on this earth. And so they're going to have a time of testing and trying a little bit so God can be a just God. Think about that today. He's going to be just like he did with us, with them, you know, and they're going to be forced to serve Jesus, right? And so they may not want to serve Jesus, and he's going to find out really who those babies are, which they may not be babies at the time because over 1,000 years they grow. But he's going to find out, you know, exactly who really wants to serve him. Think about that. Powerful to think about when God's so just and he wants to make sure those that will serve him really want to serve him. He doesn't force you to serve him. He doesn't put a gun into your head and say, hey, you got to get saved, you know. And he wants to make sure these people want to serve him as well. Think about that today. And so that's why he looses Satan for a short period of time. Well, this is the reason why, is because he's a just God. These people didn't take the mark, and they had children, And those children, of course, you know, he's got to make sure that they want to authentically serve him. Everyone else had to endure the same temptation, and they had to, so they will have to as well. Well, after this, of course, after Satan's been loose for that short period of time to test them, you know, he's, what's going to happen then? Well, I love this part. Look at Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 10th verse. God deals with the devil directly for the last time here. And listen to what happens. Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 10th verse. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, or brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be he will be tormented day and night forever. You know, he's been tormenting people over decades, tormenting people on the daily when you get up. You know, I was listening to a minister the other day. He was talking to me. He asked him, well, when does he start praying? How's his morning go? He says, I start praying before I even get out of bed. Well, it's because we got an enemy. You know, he doesn't waste any time when you're getting up, and you've got to be ready on the offense right when you're getting out of bed, not to give him any glory, you know, not to build him up in any way, but you also got to be smart as a Christian, you know, getting up, praying, and spending time with the Lord. He loves to take havoc with your day. He likes to cause challenges for your day. But if you're already prepared and you've already started, even when you're getting out of bed, then of course you can have a much better day, depending on what you've decided to do that morning. Now, if you skip that time with the Lord and you don't do that before you go to bed at all, and you don't spend no time with him, and you wonder, why am I having challenges? Well, you know, you've got to get up and be on the offense to face the enemy every day. So he talked about he would be praying before he even got out of bed. Isn't that good? Shouldn't we be praying before we get out of bed? Start speaking in tongues before you get out. Start praying for your family before you even get out of bed. Oh, that's good. I like that. Praise the Lord. Start fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit before you even get out of bed. Oh, I thought that was really good. So let's look at Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 10th verse again here. He says, and the devil was deceived and was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, the beast and the false prophet where they are, and they will be tormented day and night forever. You know, think about his torment, though. He's going to be tormented day and night. Kind of like he's reaping what he's been doing to people over all these decades and all this time. It's like he's reaping that for the rest of eternity. Wow. You know, terrible. It went from an angel that, you know, that was of great prominence and beauty. Now he's into a place of dark torment forever. Isn't it amazing what pride can do to you? Isn't it amazing what, you know, what can happen if you get prideful and you start saying, I want this and I want that, you know, I'm better than God. And he's going to live his whole life now in eternal torment. Wow, that's wild to think about, you know. But, you know, he's caused havoc and death, and he's caused division in families and hurt people, caused so much hurt. Oh, my goodness. Think about that today, you know. He deserves to be where he's at and where he's going to be for eternal torment. Notice Satan's punishment is eternal. It's eternal torment. I'm going to spit that out. Amen. It's forever. Well, the great white judgment, let's look at that real quick, which comes right after that. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, 11th verse, it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Notice what he says, who it is that are standing before God. The dead, right? It's not Christians. Right. And I've seen people have plays over the great white judgment, you know, how it's plays and things like that, you know. And no, it's for the wicked and the dead is what the great white throne judgment is. So let's go ahead and go back into that a little bit here in this verse. It says, another book was opened, and it was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works and by the things which were written in these books. Now the sea gave up the dead and who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead and who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Of course, see, it's given a description of all those that are dead. This is the second death, and anyone who found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire and the second death are referring to hell. And I can go back and have you look at a few scriptures there, but that's literally the definition of hell is what they're talking about, a place of eternal torment with Satan. And thank Satan's going to be there. It's going to be a place of eternal torment. Wow. Powerful to think about. And not only that, there'll be the fallen angels there. We know in 1 Corinthians 6:3, it tells us that the righteous will judge the fallen angels. They will be there as well. Think about that today. This is going to be an ugly place, a place of eternal torment. Satan will be there, and the fallen angels will be there as well. But it'll be the wicked of all ages, those that are dead. Wow. So that's what the Great White Throne Judgment is. It's a place to judge those of the wicked and the dead there. So let's go ahead and go to the next thing that we wanted to talk about here, kind of pushing forward, the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't that exciting to think about today? Wow. It's going to be powerful to think about it. And this is not just going to be the norm or the average earth. This is going to be a special place, and we're going to look at that real quick. In Revelation, the 21st chapter, the first verse. And if you hadn't read these last few chapters, you know there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. I'm hoping to do a series on a couple of chapters a week is what I'd like to do. But we're kind of hitting the high points throughout the book of Revelation, and the prophetic events there is what we're doing here. But those last two chapters, last three chapters there, you can look at, you know, have to do with heaven, what's going to happen after the 7-year tribulation and how God creates his new kingdom here on earth. And they're just powerful to look at. And I'm going to hit a few high points of that here real quick here. Revelation 21st chapter, the first verse, it says, all things made new. All right. Isn't that good? The first verse, 21st, let's look at the 21st verse. There says, now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So notice that he says that there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So he's going to do away with those, and there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and also there was no more sea. That's what it says there, no more sea, too. There'll be no more great big bodies of water anymore. He's going to do away with that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does that, but he's going to change things literally from what they are today. Notice that there'll be no big bodies of water, and of course he has the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. Now, people get confused about this, you know, but the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem is what it is, and I'm going to show you that here in a few scriptures. He always refers to the body of Christ or his church. He refers to them as a man, and we're going to look at a few scriptures there to talk about that. And let's go ahead and look at that real quick here. Revelation, the 21st chapter, the second verse. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice what he said, though. The New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ, right? He didn't say we were the bride of Christ. No, he said that the New Jerusalem's adorned for her husband, right? We're actually part of Christ. We're going to look at some scriptures that show you that. But he always refers to the body of Christ as a male. And that's not because I'm against it being a female. No, and that has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about what the scriptures are telling us clearly, that the body of Christ is part of a male. And we're going to look at that here. Notice the city is the bride of Christ, not the church. Paul refers to the church as a male. Colossians, the first chapter, the 18th verse, and he said, the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Who's he referring to? He, a male. Romans, the 12th chapter, the 5th verse, he says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individual members of one another, he, a male. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, the 22nd verse, it says like this, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who? The fullness of him who is male and it fills all in all. And this is even more clear here when you look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect, what does that say? Man. Think about that today. So we shouldn't be referring to ourselves as the body of Christ. We are part of Christ, and we're part of the husband, aren't we? Isn't that good to think about? You know, and it really doesn't, in the scheme of things, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but it also has a big deal of how you look at certain scriptures in the Bible. One particular talks about that he will let. Talking about holding back the Antichrist. Well, that he, right, if you understand that we are part of the husband, and realize that we're holding back the Antichrist. So it's important to be able to look at certain scriptures from that standpoint and knowing that he refers to us as a male man, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body joined in it together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Most people teach, of course, that the bride of Christ, who've been taught this for many years, and the scriptures they use don't tell you that. Ephesians, the three scriptures they use are Matthew, the 25th chapter, 1 through 13. They use John 3:29 and Ephesians 4:24 through 30. And those do not refer to the church as the bride. Take a look at them. And so there's not a scripture reference for us being the bride. The New Jerusalem is the bride, right? And that's important because you want to look at the scriptures in the correct way. You'll see them different if you see them as us being part of the husbandman, the part of Christ, in Christ Jesus as a male man, right? But none of them call the church the bride of Christ. The New Jerusalem is prepared for a company along with Jesus, right? And you know what's going to happen is God the Father is going to move his throne from heaven, and he's going to move it to earth, is what the scripture talks about. Think about that. Earth is going to be totally different, you know? It's going to be in a big way different because he's going to be here on earth. He's moving his throne from heaven to earth. Which we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, think about having his presence here on the earth and what an atmosphere that's going to create. No Satan and God's presence and his throne being here on the earth. Wow, that's going to be awesome. Well, that's what's going to happen is what the scripture talks about in the New Jerusalem. God will move his heaven, move from heaven to this city, the description of the New Jerusalem. This city is going to be decked, and it's going to have precious stones that have 11 layers of stones around it. You know, it's interesting when you think about it, you know, because this city is referred to as a bride, right? And it's going to have precious stones all the way around. You know, a bride's always decked out. Think about that today. And like, this is like a necklace all the way around that city. Think about that today with all these stones, 11 layers of stone that have jasper. It'll have sapphire. It'll have emerald. It'll have so many topaz, amethyst. This is all these beautiful stones. I'm not telling you all of them, but if you can look them up, there's 11 layers of stone all the way around this beautiful. And it's interesting today how the devil likes to use these beautiful stones for the wrong things. I was looking recently, and it's all crystals, and people use them for silly stuff, you know. But no, those are God's precious stones. And God's going to have the say-so where those stones are going to be, and he wants them around his beautiful bride. No wonder the enemy would like to make those not precious, you know, because they're going to be around God's precious bride. Think about that. Powerful to think about that, Jesus' precious bride. So it's going to be decked out with all these precious stones, and have a great wall of jasper. One wall, it's going to be a great wall of jasper around this place. It's going to be a beautiful... it's going to have a great wall of jasper. Revelations 21, 11 through 13 talks about the foundations. It talks about there in Revelations 21, 14, 19 through 20. It'll have its own foundations. The city lies four square. What is that? Well, that's 15,000 miles going each direction. It's going to be a beautiful, big city, right? And this city will be solid gold, right? So if you have a problem with Christians having gold, or you have a problem with Christians being decked out with all kinds of wonderful, precious rubies, you're not going to like living in this city. If you don't think God wants to prosper you, you're going to have a hard time living in this city. No, God likes gold, right? He likes precious stones. He likes beauty all around him, you know? Think about that. He created it. And so he values it, you know. And you think about the Egyptians, how they took all, you know, they took all the Egyptian stuff and they took all their precious stones when they went, when Israel went into the wilderness. You think about that. They took away all that. Why? Because God values those precious things. He gave them favor to take anything they wanted from them, you know. And God's going to be using those precious stones all the way around this beautiful city, just like a decked out as a beautiful bride with gold and precious stones all the way around. It has 12 gates made of one great pearl. Think about that today. Pearl gates. Hard to even fathom in our minds, but it'll have 12 gates made of one great big pearl. That's Revelation 21:21. There'll be no need for the sun or moon for the glory of God. Jesus, the light, of course, the city in Revelation 21:23. You know, God's throne will be there. There'll be no reason for there any darkness. Think about that today. No darkness. This will be a precious, precious city, praise the Lord. And we're getting close. We're living in the time of the end. We've been talking about that, you know, the first message. If you haven't listened to that, you should check it out on the time of the end. We're getting so close to this wonderful time, you know. And you think about, you know, when we're raptured, there's 7 years, you know, the Great Tribulation, and you got your 1,000-year, we're getting so close. It's coming fast. 7 years will go past fast. If you look at your lifetime and how quick 7 years passes, it'll go quick. You know, and the 1,000-year reign, you know, that's going to be a beautiful time. But, you know, you think about it, it's going to be a lovely, beautiful, beautiful time. Well, the nations of the earth will bring their glory and honor into the city. Revelation 21:24, so there'll be different nations besides this. But this will be a precious city of glory and honor. Praise the Lord. So then, of course, they'll have the river of water of life. Revelation 21:1 tells us about that flows through the middle of the streets of gold. And that's in Revelation 21:1-2. And so there'll be this precious river of life. I've heard people talk about this sea, a river of life, when they've had experiences in heaven. They've talked about this wonderful river of life. I remember one particular person talking about how they spent time with Jesus in this river of life, you know. You know, it's a city of life, right? Think about that today. It's not, there's nothing dead about it. It'd be a living city, you know. And when they talk about their heavenly experiences, how everything's vibrant and full of life, well, that's exactly what's going to be here, you know, because God's presence will be here. The earth will be full of life, praise the Lord. It flows down the middle of the street, the trees of life, Revelation 22:2. And of course, on our end note here, there will be no night. Think about that. Living with no night. Hey, you got the glory all the time and no night. It'll be a wonderful, precious city. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to enjoy this precious city and you'd like to be a part of this golden city, you know, and spending time with God and living in that new earth, you need to accept Jesus today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you that opportunity. You know, God has all good things in store for you. Your future's beautiful and bright. Amen. You know, if you were to leave right now, you would go to heaven. It's beautiful and bright. If you're to live here on earth, you have a relationship with Jesus. It's a beautiful and bright relationship with Jesus every day. Oh, sure, you face challenges, but you got the one who'll help you come through every challenge here on earth with you. If you'd like to know our Savior, Jesus Christ, and because we're getting close to this time being wrapped up, amen, you need to accept him today. And I'm going to tell you how to do that right now. You know, the Bible says Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verse, if you confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. Amen. All you got to do is believe God's risen Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus as Lord of your life today. Why don't you do that with me today? Let's pray. Father, I just believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. Jesus, come be Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you accepted Jesus right there, Jesus has come into your life and changed you right there where you're at. You say, well, I don't feel much different. That's okay. Amen. He's with you. He's going to help you on a daily basis. He's going to help you to pray. He's going to walk with you and talk with you on a daily basis. You're not alone anymore. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's with you forever, praise the Lord. He's the most wonderful, wonderful thing that you can have in your life is our God, the Father, and Jesus Christ living in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So welcome to the family of God. We're so glad you're part of the family. You've been adopted into the family. We'd love to hear about it. You can email me and Sheila at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear about your experience. Amen. We're so glad that you've accepted Jesus into your family. Let's pray for the rest of us here. Father, we just ask that you touch the rest of the people, Father, today that are listening to this message. Help them to be encouraged about their heavenly home, Father, Lord, and encouraged about their earthly home, Father, as we come back to here. And God creates this wonderful, wonderful city, the Holy Jerusalem. And Father, we just ask that you help them to be excited about their future, excited about the wonderful things that you're going to do in their lives. And Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Father. Help us to want to go get someone else saved and bring them with us, Father, to experience this wonderful future you have for us. And we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to take a few minutes here and check the comments and see all who's listening today. And we're so glad you made it with us. And we look forward to spending more time with you. We look forward to spending time with you Wednesday. We love you. God bless you. And you get ready for a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.